The race for the Democratic nomination for president is up for grabs and will be for at least another month in all probability until after February 5th, when 22 different states will vote. A new book looks back at how he lost by another Democratic candidate for president, George McGovern, and ended up creating an identity crisis for liberals torn between their convictions and the political calculations required to win elections, a dilemma for Democrats that has never gone away. Bruce Miroff is professor of political science at the State University of New York at Albany, and his new book is The Liberals' Moment, The McGovern Insurgency and the Identity Crisis of the Democratic Party, which looks back at the McGovern campaign. McGovern was crushed by Richard Nixon back in 1972, winning only one state. Later, Watergate engulfed Nixon, and he later resigned in disgrace in 1974. WMNF began our interview with Bruce Miroff by asking him what the impetus was to write the book.
Well, there are a couple reasons. Most obviously, it dawned on me during the Clinton presidency that many of the people in the Clinton White House, including the president, had gotten their political start in the McGovern administration, and I mean the McGovern campaign. And I wanted to trace what had happened to Democrats from that very liberal insurgent moment to the much more cautious centrist politics of Bill Clinton. So in one sense, it was trying to figure out the background of the Clinton people and also what had happened, what was the odyssey of Democrats since that time. But it was also the last moment when Democrats really stood for a kind of full-fledged and passionate liberalism. And I wanted to examine what both the strengths and the weaknesses of that liberalism were, to see not only where Democrats had come, but sort of what had happened to them in terms of their principles, their values, and their passions.
George McGovern, as you say, was definitely a liberal. In fact, of course, his critics at the time called him a radical, although I think it's depicted that that was somewhat unfair. Or did the circumstances of his campaign make it permissible for Richard Nixon and Republicans and even some Democrats to label him as, in fact, a radical?
Well, McGovern was not a radical, but he was strongly liberal. And in fact, he was rejecting many of the kind of Cold War liberal values, particularly of a kind of militant and strongly military approach to foreign policy. He gave his critics, both more conservative Democrats and Republicans, some ammunition, to be sure. But they also kind of began developing the caricature of the Democratic Party as a party way to the left. And what worked on McGovern would subsequently be trotted out against every Democrat since. And so Howard Dean was one of the victims, for example, in the 2004 primaries of being another McGovern. And any time the Democrats talk, for example, about peace as opposed to military intervention, the McGovernism charge is hurled against them. And I suspect we'll hear some variation of that in 2008, regardless of whether it's Hillary Clinton, who worked in the McGovern campaign, or Barack Obama, who was much too young to do so.
We're speaking with Bruce Miroff. He's the author of the book, The Liberals' Moment, The McGovern Insurgency and the Identity Crisis of the Democratic Party. So let's look back, as you do in your book, at 1971, 72, or actually going a little earlier before that, giving you a little biography of George McGovern, the senator from South Dakota. The seminal moment seemingly in the book and in the McGovern campaign where it all went bad was the Eagleton affair, the selection of Vice President Thomas Eagleton, the senator from Missouri, who it was later revealed had checked himself into hospitals three times for physical and nervous exhaustion and twice receiving electric shock treatments. Bruce Miroff, tell our listeners that period, what happened, and why it just proved to be really a devastating moment for the campaign.
Well, the McGovern campaign had had to fight to the very last minute into the Democratic convention to take the nomination. The McGovernites were exhausted. They really did not have the time or the energy to do a thorough vetting of candidates, and that was an era when vice presidential nominees were picked at the convention anyway. So they chose Eagleton, and Eagleton, when asked, said that he had nothing in his background that would cause the campaign any trouble. Within a week or so, the McGovern campaign was aware of the electric shock therapy and was faced with the dilemma, do we try to explain that mental health issues should not disqualify someone from running, or is this going to be a candidate who is an impossible burden on the campaign? McGovern at first, out of sympathy for Eagleton, particularly because McGovern's own daughter suffered from depression, decided to keep him on the ticket, and then when that produced a firestorm of opposition, and he had information from psychiatrists that Eagleton might not well be fully recovered from his problems and really might not be able to handle the burdens of the presidency should he be placed in that position. Then McGovern changed his tack and dumped Eagleton. He was in kind of an impossible situation. And so he got attacked both for making a poor choice in the first place and then in waffling, being indecisive, being opportunistic in dumping Eagleton, who came out in the public eye at the time as the victim of the whole story, even though Eagleton had, in fact, deceived McGovern and his aides at the first place about his mental health problems.
You spoke to George McGovern as far as researching this book. What does McGovern say about that whole thing now?
Well, he still says he doesn't know what the right answer was, that maybe he could have stuck with Eagleton and toughed it through, or maybe it was the right thing, particularly given that the money was drying up, there was rebellion among the troops in the field, major national newspapers were demanding that he dump Eagleton, and again, the psychiatrists were telling him that it would not be good for the country to have someone within, in the cliche, a heartbeat away from the presidency who might still be subject to those kind of mental problems. So he was, in a sense, set up. Once the event unfolded, he was going to lose either way. And there was no good answer. And it was a political tragedy of the first order.